Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy. Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mian Team.
Ed Jin.
Welcome to the 268th episode of Polycast. I'm Dan Q. I'm joined by Makalua.
I haven't had enough coffee for this yet,
Mad Jin.
I got all your coffee right here.
No, you got my cup sitting right here.
Learn to share.
No.
coffee drinkers never getting out of kindergarten. And we're joined by a number of guest co-hosts that will be rotating through as we're talking about Civilization VI.
You're plotting a new course again, aren't you?
The currents before us are ever changing. We must adapt, press forward. We are to see our journey's end.
And how will we know when we get there?
I can count up to six now. Excellent. So we'll be talking about first impressions of the game, the good, bad, and the ugly. And yes, there was a movie by that title. I know, you see, kids.
Does that mean you can get into kindergarten now? You got six?
Yes, that's true, I can. And I will be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the 21st of October that Civilization VI was released. It's probably just as well we weren't going to be scheduling a Polycast recording last week because we had this Turncast Live / Polycraft Live / all the live things throughout most of the day. So let's talk about one point that is good, bad, and ugly for Civilization VI. Right now, I'm actually going to go with the ugly being unit cycling. Right, let's just put that out there right now.
Throw that out real quick.
The bad, and if I say the artificial intelligence being in teacher mode, someone would be like, you're going to have to be more specific than that, Dan. Okay, AI inconsistencies. Dan, you're going to have to be more specific than that. Well, maybe I will over the course of the broadcast, or maybe I won't. As for the good, man, there actually is a lot of good things to talk about here, but I am liking very much the combination of the civics and the governments. I know there was a lot of concern about, oh my gosh, they're going to try to bring what we had with Civ 4 civics and Civ 5 governments, and you're just going to try to mash them together, and it's going to be a real big issue. I don't think it's a big issue. I think it works quite well in execution. So, Mackie, good, bad, and ugly, one point each for Civilization VI to get us started.
I suppose ugly the fact that I still don't know how to handle districts properly, and that, you know, in production for that is terrible. You think you know where to put it, and then, no, you can't do it in here, and you want it. I still have the tendency to want to crowd all the good stuff into my capital, and you just can't do that. The bad, despite the fact that we don't have to be on the coast, the AI still does not know how to play cities. Of course, neither do I, because you pack them in better than you could used to, and I don't need, you know, to have half a continent in between cities anymore. So I'm learning, the AI is learning, the AI is not learning.
The AI is learning how bad you play.
Let's see, good. I think I'm with Dan about the civics and governments thing, because those things go together and you can mix and match for what you're intending to do. Like, if you're intending to go the great people route, you've got ones that have bonus to that, and you can adjust your cards. Then you can also adjust your cards at the start, and then as you go along, once you start down a policy, start using a policy, you're not locked into it forever, which is kind of the problem sometimes with us going like the tradition or liberty in the beginning. Once you started one, you had to kind of stick with it unless you wanted a little side bonus and honor. But now you can just kind of mix all that together.
And imagine the good and the bad and the ugly.
How much time do we have?
1 point
short apiece. Version.
Okay, 1 point each. The good, let's see, something other than what you two said, because you said the exact same thing, and that was boring. The good, have you heard about this unpacking of cities?
Oh, boy.
No, I actually really, really like that. just in general, being able to spread out cities and have every single game be slightly different because of terrain. You're not always picking the same spot over and over and over again. You know, you don't have, like, this is where all the stuff goes, or everything goes into one city, so who cares, sort of thing. So that's definitely one of the good. The bad, well, you already mentioned auto-unit cycling, and that should be, like, just deleted. I'm going to definitely call it AI bad, real bad, in just so many aspects. And the ugly, for me, is the overuse of the tech civic scaler in all the frickin' mechanics. It's just so ugly. So basically, as you research both techs and civics, the costs of a lot of different things just go up magically. Because apparently, the more advanced you get, the stupider you get on the production side. And it affects so many mechanics completely independent of what those mechanics are. So, like, placing districts. You could easily have a mechanic in there where the more districts you have, the more expensive it gets. That makes sense. Or if you try and place too many of one, it gets more expensive compared to others. That makes sense. But just going, oops, I researched military tactics. It's not a tech I really need, really. But because it's a dead-end tech, it actually costs you more long-term to bother researching it. And that's just ugly. And it's not just districts. It's districts, hex buying, and a long list of other mechanics that are just really, really ugly. And the tech tree. But there's a mod for that.
I was just about to say, there might be a mod for that done by someone on the panel who just talked about it other than me. Because I mentioned it, and I meant I just talked about it.
So it's not as ugly because I fixed it.
So we are going to bring on our first couple of guests. Again, these are people who have been on the show at least once. And if they've been on the show more than once, then they obviously have a very high tolerance for pain. Saying hello first off to Mega Bears fan. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And also hello. Saying hello to Alpha Shard.
Yep, got it.
You are the most frequent guest co-host on this show with 13 appearances to date. I'm sorry, this is a non-scoring round for guest appearances, so you're not going to get to 14. So sad, too bad for you. And Mega Bears fan, you've been on a few times before as well. So I'm going to start with you, Mega Bears fan. What is a 1 point for the good, the bad, and the ugly for Civilization VI?
I actually didn't know about that Jin's point about tech scaling the cost of everything up. I was actually assuming that was, like, based on the number of cities or something like that. Building more cities increased the cost of districts or something like that. So, I don't know, maybe that's a different...
Even that would make more sense.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, and that I was fine with, because it was, like, you know, just a counterbalancing mechanic for infinite city spam. And I was like, oh, okay, that's better than one global happiness statistic that tanks all of your cities because you built one too many cities. But anyway, so the good, I really like that the actual gameplay mechanics have a lot more interplay with the map now. There's a lot less dead space on the map. I wouldn't mind seeing oceans get a little more different types of terrain and, like, production and stuff like that on them. But overall, like, even deserts and tundra don't feel like dead space anymore because you can actually build districts on them and turn them into useful tiles instead of them being, like, a last resort place to settle. And the fact that there's a greater sense of your civilization developing organically based on, like, its own history and terrain and geography and stuff like that, that they all play into each other and reinforce each other.
Dead-end tiles, not just for forts anymore. Continue.
Yeah, exactly. So that's good. Bad. I'm just a little bit underwhelmed with diplomacy in general. Not just specifically AI, but just the whole diplomacy mechanics. I was kind of hoping and expecting for more there in this game. That's historically been a weakness of the Civ games, so I was kind of hoping that maybe it was something that they would finally really do a really good job on. The biggest thing is you get the casus belli things, but I don't feel that they work as well as they should, because you can't use those as reasons for denouncing someone before you declare war on them. So the AI has no opportunity to change its behavior based on your scolding them. You just denounce them, which says, oh, I don't like you. And then they're just like, oh, okay, whatever. Until finally you declare war on them with a casus belli. And it's like, then maybe they know why you're mad at them. But you should have been able to tell them that when you denounced them. So it almost seems to me like the casus belli thing should be attached to denouncing, not to the declarations of war. So that the AI at least has a chance to know why you're mad at it and maybe not do the thing that's making you mad. Although more likely they'd probably just end up doing it even more because it's the AI.
No, that's definitely a good point. And there's other diplomacy that's in the trading where they seem very random.
Right. Ugly. Yeah, I'm probably going to go with the unit cycling as well. They already have the thing where you get the notification saying units are awaiting orders. Just let us click that when we're ready to cycle to a unit automatically. I'm almost always clicking on the next unit that I want to move while the current unit is animating anyway. So just give us an option to turn it off, I guess, if it's not already there.
It is there.
Yeah,
okay.
You can.
Well,
you have
then
to change an INI file.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe I should be in the actual menu then where everyone can find it.
It should be.
I think another thing, too, that would be nice would, and I said this for Civ 5, would be to have a button in the UI to cause all the units that already have movements or actions queued up to go ahead and do their thing, so that you don't have to wait till the end of the turn. You know, if you told the unit to spend 5 turns marching across the continent, you should be able to tell them at the start of your turn to go ahead and do that so that you don't accidentally move another unit in front of them, and then that stops their movement, and then you have to tell them where to go again. I've seen other turn-based games do that. I think, like, Endless Space has a button for that on its UI. So I know it's not an intractable problem, so would definitely like to see something like that added as well.
Oh, yeah, that would be a very useful thing.
For my options for good, I definitely love the lenses. It helps plan city planning better, finding out where the appealing tiles are, where your religion is. It helps you understand your terrain better, I think, and gives you a better overview, so that's definitely much appreciated, and the pins as well. For me,
I'll just say in the pins, and yes, and you don't have to be like in Civilization 4 allies anymore to be able to see them.
Yes,
if you want
that
to share them with people.
We tested it.
Yes, we did.
And you can, of course, also set pins that just you yourself can see them, because perhaps even in a cooperative multiplayer game, you don't want someone to know that that's where you're planning your second city. Because they decide to be a little ish and settle towards you instead.
Maybe they think, oh, you think that's a good city location. I should take it.
There should be some in-house rule for people who put too many pins on the map. Anyway, that's something else.
And for ugly, I think during the advanced setup, I could do with some more options for, like if I want to choose how many city-states are on a map, a few other little things that I'd have to think of again. It's a little bit difficult because it's like there's a lot of learning curve for me. It's very different from Civ 5, so I'm trying to figure out what's the difference between just me learning the new game and what's actually bad in it. And I think I do agree with Metjen's scaling. The things to purchase just seem so expensive sometimes. It's like, how am I going to afford to buy these things when I need this tile like now, or I need this unit now, and I never seem to have enough to just buy the stuff. That might be just more of me needing to learn the game. I don't know.
No, it's just bad mechanical thing. Hopefully it'll get changed eventually to something that makes more sense. But for now, if you want to metagame it, when you have the population to put a district down, slap it down and then walk away and go do something else, because it'll lock down the production cost. So even if, say, you don't want to focus on building that campus right now, you can put it down. It'll lock the production cost while you're low-tech in Civic, and then when you finally want to get around to building it, because you can always change off of it production-wise, then you can still get a low cost.
I think that
any mechanic that has such a simple and kind of silly workaround is probably not a very good mechanic to begin with.
It also means Russia is way better than everybody else on that front, because you start with so many extra hexes, you don't have to worry about buying them.
and Germany.
That's true.
Get the extra
districts. The extra districts. Yep. And you can slap down a district at pop one, so don't be afraid.
Although I think also that should help you reserve that tile in case you forget.
Yeah. Although I think that should also be changed. Pop four should be the first district. Helps get rid of ICS a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to play around with it a little bit more. I kind of like being able to, you know, when I want to get that first coastal city up with, like, a harbor or whatever, it's kind of nice to be able to get that going right away. Just because coastal cities have such slow production to begin with that, you know.
Yeah, that's what trade routes are for.
Yeah, true. But part of the reason I'm building that harbor is in order to get another trade route. So it means I don't really have very many of them going already.
Yeah, you're fine.
And in the chat, the Christie have never been able to discuss the AI's troop movement, only the same limitations as in Civ 5. Nearby settling and city conversion. Yeah, there still is that disconnect there in part about what the AIs can ask you to do or even tell you to do, and you cannot. It's better than
you
it was.
Can.
But there's still some little things missing here.
Yeah, I've had numerous situations in which the AI, I've had open borders with them, and they decide to put all of their units inside my territory right next to my capital.
Oh, I hated that.
And then when they declare war, inevitably, I think all those units just get shuffled out of your borders anyway. So it's like,
yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
And there's the whole, if you have two cities who are close together and your borders are touching, and your units are within your borders, but they're close enough to theirs, they're like, get your units away from me. They're in my borders. What the hell,
right.
Dude?
Right. Or your scout walks by, you know, on one
yeah.
turn.
Yeah.
Suddenly
yeah.
they throw a fit. Yeah. Stuff like that
it's
is
like,
pretty fun.
Hey, can I get open borders? Yeah, no problem. Get your scout out of my territory. What?
Or to that further point, the AI decides to forward settle you. You're in your border still, and they're like, hey, move your troops. No, you move your troops. You move yourself away from where I was.
No, thanks. I'm going to move my troops. I'm going to burn your crappy little city down.
Yeah, I've always felt like any interaction that the AI can have with the player should also be able to have back to the AI. So if the AI
yep.
can tell you to move your troops, you should be able to tell them to move their troops.
Yep.
And
then
should be able to
you
tell species
now.
To move their troops, too, so that they don't keep blocking you. Although it's not as bad anymore because
yeah.
the traders build roads and you don't get them asking you to build a road and then parking a spearman on that one tile that
yep.
is your city and their city. So at least that's been indirectly fixed. But still,
oh, yeah.
there are times where the city-states build a crap ton of units now. So there are times where they just fill up whole chunks of the map and I'm just trying to get my scout passed. And it's like, dude, like, move your stuff.
I've seen them ask for you to go get rid of a barbarian encampment even. That was kind of a surprise. But that actually reminded me of something that I do think is bad, is that you can capture enemy settlers and settle cities with those settlers. I think that was a good decision in 5 where they didn't let you do that, and they probably shouldn't
yeah.
now either.
Expect that to change.
Yeah,
I think that could actually be turned into an interesting mechanic if the game had some sort of ethnic demographic sort of feature, like in Civ 4, where maybe if you steal somebody's settler and you found a city, you get a city, it's under your control, but it's populated by people of the ethnicity of the Civ that originally built it. And then that might influence things like how you approach them diplomatically, because if you're at war with their homeland, maybe that city gets extra unhappiness or something like that.
In Civ 4, I think that caused the city to rebel and go back to the culture that it belonged to. I remember that happening,
right.
that the more culture of that other city that was in there, they would rebel. And so that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could
yep.
become a cool mechanic. I personally would think it would be really nice if, like, each individual citizen actually had ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even their ethnicity could have different effects on what they do. Like, maybe if they come from a civ that has better science, then they generate more science or something like that.
Yeah, you can go very deep with that. And then you can get things like the merger of genetically diverse groups into a brand new one.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, exactly. So, as we are coming up on the first set of guests to be heading out and the next set of guests coming in, I'll go back to you, Scott, and just say what is one tip that you would give Civilization players right now based on your Civ 6 gameplay?
That you cannot play this like you play Civ 5. The one thing I think that's really different is that you have to plan out your housing and amenities differently than in Civ 5. You don't have that global punishing cap, but you do have to settle near the rivers. You get a +3 housing. It's really good, and I think that's just settle by the rivers. That'll be my tip then.
Excellent. And to you, Jason.
Well, I just recently published a blog with some tips for exploring and defending from barbarians. It's up on megabearsman.net, so feel free to check that out. But my one tip would be, yeah, don't ignore or neglect barbarians. They do not mess around in this game.
Oh, boy, do they not.
If you see that barbarian scout, kill it. It's, think of it like a cockroach running around your kitchen. Do not let it get away. And to that end, you probably want to get them heavy chariots as quickly as you can so that you can actually chase those three movement scouts down, assuming, of course, that he doesn't run into a forest or jungle and then your chariots can't follow anyway. but if that scout gets back to an encampment, very bad news is coming your way. And if those barbarians start showing up with very early horse units, they can be almost impossible to deal with. I've had several games end because my capital gets surrounded by barbarian horse archers and horsemen in like 2000 BC. And I'm really?
It's still not much. A warrior and a slinger can wipe out all those. Because
It depends on the terrain. If they're coming in and they're hitting you and then they're running away, you know, beyond like hills and jungles where your units can't get to them, then it's bad. If you're on flat terrain, it's okay. But if you're in rough terrain, I've had a lot of problems with them.
Oh, if you're in rough terrain, a warrior can handle the horses easily. Because keep in mind, barbarian horses at the beginning of the game are not the same combat strength as the horsemen that come in classical, so they're actually weak. Okay. And if you throw on the barbarian boost, the extra plus +5, then warriors fortified in a forest will just watch all those slam into it. Horse archers are really weak to the point where you can use scouts to run them over.
Right. The problem, of course, though, is you can
easily win that.
If you can catch up to them. But like I said,
they'll come to you.
Yeah, but I've had problems where they do come up, then they run away, and I'll get them down to like a few hit points, and then they run off into the woods somewhere, and I can't chase them. And then more spawn and show up to replace them, and I'm like, but bottom line is, you need to build units. You can't just get away with your one warrior and your one archer the way you could in Civ 5 and just build cities and stuff like that. You need a 4 to 6 or even 7 or 8 unit army pretty early in the game, because if you don't have it, the barbarians will punish you for it. Or Scythia will punish you for it, or Russia will punish you for it.
Whoever's next to you will punish you for it.
Yeah.
But that's the AI, so.
Yeah, not terribly hard, but when they show up with 20 units and they heal every time they kill one of yours, it's I would not be surprised to see that buff go down to 33 or 25 hit points at some point, because it's pretty crazy.
Throw up the plus +10 versus ranged on defense, and then laugh.
I think the comparison of barbarians to cockroaches is apt, because you can get kind of scout cockroaches, and it's like, hey, guys, come on over here. And also, to the barbs, you know, when you're beside a unit of mine and beside a unit of, say, an AI-controlled Civ, you don't always have to attack me, even when I'm on rough terrain and they're on flat terrain. No? Really? Screw you. You guys are in cahoots. I know you are. All right, so thanks again to Scott and Jason. See you later, gents. Essentially, if I don't mention the number of episodes you've been on, it's because it's only been one, and why would I acknowledge that? Lols. hello, Josh.
Howdy.
And,
what, that wasn't a good enough answer?
No, and I'm judging you greatly for it. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. fail. Epic fail.
And also hello to ECAT2468.
Hello.
So, I'm going to start with you here, Josh. Your good, bad, and ugly 1 point apiece for Civilization VI.
Well, good. Localized happiness. I'm so glad to have it back. I'm glad that I can build a large empire again. I can grow it. I can expand. And I don't have to worry about my entire empire going into fail state because, oh, sorry, you're unhappy now, so everybody is dead.
You have one luxury too little, die.
Yes, exactly. Oh, what? They burnt a luxury? So much for everyone. Bad? The AI. I'm not happy with the AI. Just a couple of points, but the one that I'll stick on the one that, towards the end a little bit more. The bad city placement, the bad at warfare, that's nothing new. The all or nothing peace deals, I'd really like to. Cleopatra ended up at war with me because I hadn't found her, she hadn't found me.
Oh yeah, you saw yourself.
And I go, you know, close to 100 turns where I can't even get a white piece from her. She won't do anything in peace. All of a sudden then, she offers me the world, basically, everything she's got. Here you go, you can have it all. She didn't offer me her cities, but everything else she has, all her luxuries, all her money, and she's ready to get out of the deal. And there needs to be something in between those two. You can't just go straight to that. And the early rush of city-states by the AI is driving me crazy. If the AI rushes me and pushes me out of the game, I don't care as much because, hey, I'm dead. And
you're starting a new game? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
just start the new one. But when it rushes all the city-states, it's like, eh. I mean, yes, I'm using it to my advantage, but it's not really a game style that I like seeing.
Especially when, you know, you've got some envoys there, maybe even Suzerain, and it's like, can you, like, not do that? I'm going to tell the AI to leave my city-state alone. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your committee in particular loves to do that.
But yeah, I kind of agree. It's actually worse on DD for the AI going directly after city-states, which is really funny when you see Greece Heracles doing it. I want to be friendly with city-states. Stomp, stomp, stomp.
Yeah, in my current game, I actually have no city-states alive on the map, and it's been like this for most of the game, so I just have 36 envoys just sitting around.
The good news is you can go liberate them and automatically become Caesarian.
That's true. It is kind of one of those things. I have had games where it's been a little while since I found a city-state. It's like, okay, I've got these dozen-plus envoys. Let's mess around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, people in this other continent I just discovered. Did you want that city-state? Nope.
There were only two city-states to begin with on my continent. What do you guys mean you're going to kill them?
So Josh, what's your ugly then?
My ugly would be the numbers without explanations. I think there's a lot of learning curve there that needs more war wariness. I start a war and, you know, two turns in, I'm up to -4 war wariness, and I don't know why I have -4 war wariness. Tooltips, there's a lot of tooltips missing where I'm not seeing explanations. I look at my gold, I look at what my armies are costing me and what my cities are costing me. There's no explanation of why my armies are costing me a whole lot of money. My cities, at least there is the report that I could look at. There's no diplomacy reports. All those different nice reports that we used to have are gone. I'd like to be able to see easy comparisons of things, and I really don't like how the AI handles feeding us numbers. Numbers that are information that we should know.
Well, some of that, I think, is in the Civpedia, although not necessarily how it works.
So, if you go to Civpedia and you try to search some of those things, it doesn't come up because it's only when you do the search, you're only going to get the title. So, if you want to know a little bit more information about it, you search war wariness, you only get the topic on war wariness. You don't get other topics that are mentioning war wariness. And so, if you want to find out more information on it, then it's not there. I was trying to find attack bonuses. I had a knight that was trying to attack in the jungles, and I wanted to know if there was a penalty for that. And you go and you start searching it and try 5 or 6 different things, and it doesn't come up because there is only the information if you get the title of a topic, not anything within the topic.
Civilization 6 Civilpedia, reminding you what searching the World Wide Web was like in 1996.
Exactly.
See, I don't remember those days, so.
You see, kids, there was this year called 1996.
And wait until the day with the kids these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was this time where 19 was the first number.
Yeah. What? No. Say it isn't so. Oh, and also, just as a blanket statement, whenever we complain about the AI, what we're asking for in Civilization 7 is that it's MP only. Go, go, go! No.
Oh, what?
No, that's great, but that kind of is what we got with Civ 6, because MP works.
True.
Oh, is that what it is? We know a lot of people didn't like to play Civilization 5 multiplayer because of its issues. We're going to have so many issues with the AI, we're going to compel you to play multiplayer. That's an interesting plan.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That's 2K and Firaxis' hidden agenda. Oh, ooh, there we go. Uncovered. Alrighty, Cat. Good, bad, and ugly. Civilization 6.
Alright, so for my ugly, I'm going to echo pretty much everyone so far and just say the AI. There are so many things about the AI that needs work. I feel like agendas are probably a little bit too important with when the AI determines who to denounce and who to attack, because, like, I've seen this with pretty much a lot of other games, including mine. By about turn 150 or so, most of the world has denounced you, and it's much harder to build productive relationships with the AI now than it used to be, and Pedro shouldn't be denouncing me because I have one more great person than he does. Congo shouldn't be denouncing me because I founded a religion last turn.
Yes, the Congo especially likes to do that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I understand Spain denouncing me because I have a religion and they have a religion, but yeah, some of it's gotten a little crazy.
Yeah, now the AI, at least on the agendas, actually sort of worked with it. I mean, yes, definite timing on that. Yes, Congo, it actually does take time to build a missionary and send it to you.
Yeah. I like the concept of the agendas very much, though.
Although, on that note, it would be nice if both the player and the AI had an option to say, please send me your religion, and then they would actually do it. That would be nice.
Yeah, also, if the F-off option actually did anything.
Well, sure it makes you feel good.
It is in there, but the AI loves to ignore it.
Yeah, and part of this, of course, is getting used to how we're going to be getting information about what's going on with the AI and the diplomacy and the access levels and whatnot. But quite frankly, you can't. It sounds like you don't play France enough.
My current game actually... The funny thing is, my current game actually is France. So, like, I know what the hidden agendas are. It's just the AI, if I slip for one moment, the AI, like, really hates me. And there's some things that are unpredictable, like when an ally of yours for, like, 300 years all of a sudden denounces you out of blue. The AI still has carried over many of those things. And there's several other complaints I have about the AI, like their tendency to build huge armies of completely outdated units, for example.
Hey, that worked in my favor.
I should not be facing spearmen when I'm in the information era, is what I'm saying.
Here.
That's my ugly. For my bad, I'm going to go with missionaries preventing unit movement. Because, for example, if Arabia decides to send a gigantic army of missionaries to my civilization and I can't move units around, that is really annoying.
Well, my response to that was you need some apostles to go squish them, or just outright declare war on them, and then you can move a military unit on top of all those missionaries, and they magically disappear.
Yes, I was tempted to do that a couple of times, actually. It got so annoying.
But it's nice that you don't have to do, like, a formal war. You can send out apostles to smack those down.
Or inquisitors to just clean up the place afterwards. The theological combat side has been getting a lot of hate from people because the AI actually weirdly knows how to use it and other people don't. So they're always mad when the AI actually does something right for once.
I find the theological combat mechanic actually one of an interesting mechanic that I feel has made religion a little bit more interesting, but there should be an option for if you do not want to participate in that to just not have your territory swamped.
Well, if you don't want to participate, you will get swamped. Just like if you don't want to participate in war, you're going to lose your whole empire.
Yeah.
If you cut off religious victory, will they stop sending them?
No, because religion is still useful.
That's an aside. I've seen that as well. If you disable certain victory conditions, the AI is not... they're not really taking that into account. Like, you can disable space victory, and that might still be going for spaceman. I mean, that's just...
Yeah. Well, on the religion side, like, say I play a game with religious victory off, I'm still going to spread my religion that gives me 5 for every city everywhere that it is covered, so I'm still going to spread that.
Yeah. I don't mind having a lot of missionaries go through my lands if I didn't found a religion. That's kind of expected. I just don't want that to have to block me from being able to move units around in my own empire. So
yeah, the blocking is a little weird if you're not at war.
But overall, I feel like, first of all, Civ 6 is much better put together than Civ 5 was at its release. I think there's almost unanimous agreement on that. For my good, I'm going to agree with Dan and Mackie about the whole civics and government thing. It adds a new layer of strategy that I feel you really have to think about. What policies do I want right now? What is my current objective? What potential future bonuses do I want? There's a relatively long-term planning in terms of the government that you pick and short-term planning in terms of how you swap your cards around. And I feel like it's really well done, discounting, of course, the point about the production scaling based on civics and tech.
All right, so going back to Josh now, what would your one tip be for anyone playing Civilization VI right now to either make their game good or better? You know, you can decide. You don't have to give them a good tip. It can be a bad tip, I suppose.
a bad tip. I'll give you a bad tip. Don't settle your first city. That's my tip now.
That's a wonderful tip.
Go watch Beyond the Monument.
There you go. explore with your settler. The AI won't understand. Yeah. They'll leave it alone.
It'll confuse them. Yep. They can't attack your city if you don't settle it. Come on. I know everything's already been mentioned. So my tip would be, if you're new to the game, one thing that you're not going to be ready for is production is really king here. Make sure that when you're settling your cities that you're allowing yourself enough production, because if you're not paying attention to it, you're going to miss it. You're not going to have the production, and make sure to keep it up or you will start falling behind there.
Yeah, then good luck building anything in the later era.
Yeah, at certain times you can partially compensate for that if you've got really good gold income, but that's only going to get you so far. In the end, if your production base isn't good, you're going to find out about it. And part of that is thinking about, at some point in the future, I still want this city to be productive relative to everything else in the game.
Let's see. My tip. This game is not Civ 5. Do not just do a 4 cities and be done and hope that you'll be able to sustain based entirely on that. You're going to need more than that. You're going to need to specialize your cities more rather than just have 4 big metropolises that are capable of doing absolutely everything. You should have a military city. You should have a gold city, etc.
It's not necessarily every single city you're going to construct is going to have every single district.
Don't neglect the early game army either. The AI will punish you for that, just a warning.
Oh, yeah, and another warning. It seems to be that, I don't know, if you've got a couple of AIs that forward settle you, and you decide, this person is a little closer to me and they're weaker, I'm going to go squish them. I'm going to keep some of my units at home, but I'm going to send the rest off to finish off this first AI. Make certain the units you leave home are comparable to the rest of the units that you send off, even if that means delaying the rest of it, because you can get wiped out in 4 turns or less, even on print, which has happened to me in an upcoming Turncast episode. Mm-hmm. I'm in it live here on Polycast. It was very humbling, and for the rest of the Civilization 6 runs, I'm with Mackie. Germany, screw you.
Yep, just because they have a bunch of warriors doesn't mean they can't squish you.
I was the second most powerful military on the map, and there were closer civs than me to go after, and I didn't get denounced for declaring war on this civ. Anyway, what happened?
You sound happy with that.
And they didn't like people who were being buddy-buddy with city-states, and I wasn't a suzerain of anyone, and just, hate your face, and everything else around you.
Congo will have my forever hatred for killing me in my first ever game.
Humans hold grudges. That's what holds civilization games together.
Let's not teach the AI to hold grudges.
And we're going to hold grudges against AIs from our first game 3 years from now when the final expansion comes out.
This final expansion, Civilization 6 Platinum Gold Edition, Bedazzled.
Oh, yes.
There you go. That's the official title. I'm calling it right now, Matt. I can tell. All right. Thanks, Josh. And Kat, for joining us.
Yep. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Thanks.
Now we're going to bring on not one, not two, but 3 guests, because we love to count on the internet. I mean, what else is there to do on the internet except count? Well, there are some other things, but we won't talk about it on this show. Hello, Canuck Soldier.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Awesome here.
Excellent. Also, hello. Man of Doom. Hey. And hello, Darkest Onion.
Hello. How are you folks doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Got my little sheet here of good, bad, and ugly.
Oh, you Keener. Okay, Keener. Good, bad, and ugly of Civilization 6. You have been voluntold. Go, go.
All right. A lot has already been said already, so I'll try to make something interesting out of what I was going to say. I'll start with the good, because I want to be positive today. Unstacking cities. It gives a large degree of, like, customization options. So staying under 3 districts in a given city allows you to kind of actually specialize any given city you want a certain way, because the district production cost does scale.
Yeah, exactly.
More could be said, but a lot has already been said on that, so I won't beat that one down too hard. Bad. There's specific terrain requirements for things like Stonehenge to get an early religion. It can lock out certain wonders dependent on math, which is, I guess, fine. It feels a bit like they wanted to make sure that people that wanted to build Stonehenge had a chance, so not everybody was trying to build it. So they went, do you have stone? And most of my starts have stone, so it's not the biggest deal. But the ones that don't, I hear my friends complaining immediately. They're like, fine, you can have Stonehenge. It doesn't sound like they're having fun.
But there's other wonders that have other things, and you're never going to have access to all the wonders. And it also means if you don't have it right there, go elsewhere. Causes conflict over terrain.
Yeah, I've conquered a city to build Stonehenge before, I'll admit it.
That's a good wonder. I can understand why you would.
Yeah. As for the ugly, though, it goes back to what the AI does early on with the unit span that it does. I'm more worried about it rushing city-states than me, usually, because I build an army pretty fast. Game I had the other day, my northern neighbor, who I was completely peaceful with, surprise war-decked me. So I killed them. My southern neighbor did it 2 turns later. So I killed them. And I thought, well, it can only happen twice. And the third person run over and killed the only city-state left on the map because the other two had killed the other two we knew. And they were killing it, so I went to war with them, and I'm a warmonger.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, fine. It's going to be a domination victory today. It shouldn't force me into a playstyle based on the overaggression of low-level units.
Have you yet enjoyed, in giant air quotes, the, hey, want to declare war on this guy? Sure. Next turn, the person who asked you into the war, you're a warmonger.
Yep.
Exactly.
And it's worse if it's Scythian who did it.
You gonna call me a villain? I'm coming for you.
Like, hey, want to work together and surprise war that guy? Yeah.
You bastard! Exactly. I try to laugh at it, though. You know, I try to have fun with it, not get too angry. The game's really good, by the way. It exceeded my expectations, actually. And I was ready for the sky to fall and me to be all upset. I've got a friend who's close to quitting playing because the mechanics aren't working out for him. And I feel pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't think they're that bad.
Is it mechanical issues, or just doesn't understand how the mechanics have changed?
Well, I think it's a desire for their expertise to transfer from 5 to 6.
Oh, well, that's...
Difficulty in that transfer.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a whole different set of situations. Like, tips-wise, you need good district placement, what I understand, and you need to understand the civics tree and how you can tailor that to the preferred playstyle and to that map. There's a lot of... you can't do what you want, you have to do with what you got. And that makes people angry sometimes.
Learning curve. They'll have to get
learning
over it.
Curve.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just went, I don't like this. Let me explore further and then see what I can do with it.
There are some mechanical things that I think are bad, but that's just like the mechanic itself feels bad. Not necessarily
like
that.
Fixed,
yeah,
like
because it does bad things, but it's not that, oh my God, there's a civic tree, therefore I can't choose policies anymore. That's wrong. Yeah, not that sort of stuff. That's
a hard way to look at it. To just be a new mechanic, I'm scared, I'll hide under desk. But he's not quite that bad.
You've been on Politicast 5 times to date. The Man of Doom, welcome back, first off. It's been a while. What is your good, bad, and ugly for Civilization VI?
It's hard to say. I haven't had much time to play, so I haven't actually finished a game. But it's a beautiful game, and I definitely say the learning curve is probably the bad part. After playing Civ 5, I'm like, okay, I'll just throw it on Immortal and see what happens. And I was completely lost.
That was a lot of people. It's fine. I'll just play the high level. Nope.
Yeah, the learning curve between that and 6 and 5 is just pretty steep. I do really like the whole government thing now, how you can choose a bunch of policies. That's pretty cool. I say the frustrating part is the AI just seems to wander aimlessly around the map looking for every single barb hut. With, like, 4 warriors at a time.
That's not bad.
It's just
like
kind of...
Bar control, but...
It's just kind of annoying, because the whole diplomacy is not completely fleshed out right now, so I just don't know if they're wandering units to come attack me, or if they're...
Well, they might.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that wandering unit isn't an issue, but it's, oh, hey, there's an unescorted settler from the AI. Oh, I think they're going to settle here. Oh, sorry, too bad. And then that settler wanders aimlessly because it doesn't want to even go back home. It doesn't know where to go. And it's like, you know, I'm just going to ignore it. 15, 20
well,
minutes later. Why are you hanging out here? Okay, man, I guess I'm going to have to declare war and take it from you and actually do something with it. That's the kind of wandering that makes me go, oh, come on. Adapt. I beat you to it by 1 turn. Curse, if you must, whatever. I don't know, 0-1-1-0-1-1-1-0, you know, because it's all binary. And then move on.
Yeah. I do think the siege, how you combine, like, the battering ram with, like, spearmen and swords, that's a really nice touch. I really like that.
Yeah, too bad you can just use archers instead.
Pretty much.
It's like, hey, you added this whole new feature called support units. Put 2 of them in the early game for helping to take cities, because, let's face it, melee units slamming their face against the wall really doesn't do very much. And then you leave archers in. That can just smash everything.
Yeah.
Slow clap for wiping out your own mechanic.
Yeah, I pretty much ignore support units, full stop, at this point in time. I wish I felt a compelling need to use them. And there's like the novelty factor, but I don't think they were added to be a novelty factor.
Yeah, they could have been added to not be a novelty factor, and then somebody did something stupid and made archers more powerful than they should be.
Oh, the left hand wasn't talking to the right hand.
Yeah.
They needed the Civ 5 nerf, or they just take that 100% penalty to cities for archers.
No, I mean, I don't think archers should be able to damage walls.
Yeah.
At all. 0%. But archers should be able to shoot the unit that's in the city.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's not what happens right now. Right now, the unit in the city gets zero damage and the wall takes it all. I mean, it's a minus 75%, whatever, but then the combat mechanics have a minimum 10 to 12 damage for archer fire, even if the thing they're shooting at is way more than 30 combat strength higher. So the mechanics basically say, use archers again. And, well, frankly, somebody could just mod out archers being able to do silly things like that.
Yeah.
And then we'll be okay.
Yeah, wait for Firaxis to finally send down the patch hammer months later.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to go over to Canuck Soldier now. Seven-time guest on the show. And, of course, the head of the Civilization Players Multiplayer League, John. You're good, bad, and ugly. Civ 6.
Okay, well, my good, of course, is that multiplayer really works well.
Yay!
Considering it took Civ 5 two expansions to really get that right, I'm really happy with Firaxis for getting this out on day one.
And even still, I'd say Civ 6 multiplayer is more stable and works better than Civ 5 after all the expansions.
Even today, yes.
I would say so too, yes. Going back and re-engineering the entire Civ 5 core engine just wasn't something they were going to do, so yeah, this really works good. I would say the bad, it's not finished yet, so we don't have teams. And for anyone who likes competitive multiplayer teams or cooperative against the AI, we're still waiting for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the ugly, I'm going to open up a bit of a discussion here, but I'm going to say that I know we've got unit stacking with non-military and military, but I think we really need to still go back and revisit making small military stacks. Attacking, especially against other humans, this is still, I would say, pretty much a defender's game, you know, militarily speaking.
I don't like mini stacks. That's what support units are for.
I mean, isn't that abstracted a little bit with...
I'll just throw that out there.
The armies and the core?
Yeah, what about cores and armies? Yeah, I mean, you do that, you've got your small stack of a stronger unit, then attach a support unit to it. Is that kind of thing good enough, you think?
Yeah, I mean, we can do cores and armies later on in the game, but if you're playing starting ancient, you know, medieval... Taking the warfare approach is still pretty painfully slow.
It would be interesting if the core and the army mechanic actually let you put multiple units together and the new unit got bonuses. Like if you put an archer with a warrior, then you would get a first strike before the attack, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's some improvement we can do there to the military game here.
Yep.
Which would kind of give you like a combined armed in a stack.
I'm not saying we need to go the Civ 3 and Civ 4 way of 50 unit stacks, one and a half battlefield. Not whatsoever. But the one unit per tile mechanism is still pretty strong there, especially in the early game. And that's still slowing down the military fun that some people want to have.
Well, I had one game where I had only four military units. Of course, they were armies by then. You know what I mean? So I'd combine them. And those four units took the whole world over by themselves. With no opposition on Emperor. They just crushed city after city. But I think you have to hit mid-game for that to work.
And, of course, if you're playing against the AI, you've got to program them to deal with stacks, too. Small stacks.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not the easiest thing in the world, but...
No.
At least right now, they use cores and armies and fleets and armadas. So they at least know how to do that part.
Yeah.
Somewhat well.
So, John, what would you say, then, your one tip for people playing Civilization VI right now would be?
I would say just to jump right in, like, it is a much deeper, complex game, but if you're going to jump into playing online multiplayer, don't get too concerned about all the details. Just jump in and give it a try.
Yay! Play more multiplayer!
Yeah.
experience. If you get burned by taking this action in game number one, you probably don't want to take that action in game number two, because you learn. Cue Alanis Morissette. Why would I say such a thing? I have no idea, because I'm me, I guess.
I mean, you can read and you can watch videos, and that's awesome. You don't learn, you know, in any better way than just doing it.
Absolutely. Darkest Onion, your tip.
Well, generally, all together, be ready for the learning curve, a complete relearning of the mechanic, because it can throw you off I don't remember the Civ 5 learning curve being this high. I remember going from Civ 4 to Civ 5 going, this is nice. Easier. This is harder in many ways.
I think it might be because some of the mechanics aren't really stated.
They're not crystal clear, and you have to kind of dig into them.
And I wouldn't be surprised if some of this is people looking at it and say, oh yeah, of course there's unstacked cities, but oh, it's still one unit of hex. I can just translate it right over. Oh, look at that. Like, there's religion. And I know there was religion in Civilization 4 too, but I think a lot of people get looking at the map and they're like, oh, it's just like Civ 5. The graphics are cartoony, but the gameplay is going to play the same, as opposed to where Civilization 4 to Civilization 5, there was a lot of attention on going from squares to hexes. And I think maybe, perhaps, this is just a theory, that perhaps people thought, oh, I am going to have to play this differently. Where a lot of people got into, oh, I can get into this comfort zone for these certain things because they look the same, they sound the same, they use the same term. And then people are like, wow, this is actually harder than I thought it was going to be.
Right. Well, I see myself sending texts to people like this. Did you know that you need to build a shrine in order to build missionaries? You need to build a temple for apostles. They're like, what? What?
And the Man of Doom, what would your tip be for Civilization VI?
Expect there to be a learning curve. I didn't think there was much of a learning curve in Civ 5, and the only Civ game I had played before that was Civ Rev on the iPhone, and I caught on to Civ 5 real quick. So I definitely think the learning curve on this game, like Dark Onion said, is this game is much more complex than any other Civ game has ever had because of the unstacked cities and how you grow your city is completely different, not dependent on happiness, but it's dependent on the amount
happiness.
Of... happiness.
There is actual happiness thing in there.
Amenities and happiness.
Yeah, the happiness is the word for the final sum of all the other stuff. So, if are they happy? Are they upset? That stuff.
Yeah, I don't see that on the top bar anymore.
Yeah.
So it was there.
Yep.
Well, thanks to all of you for joining us on Polycast episode 268.
Always fun.
To be bringing on our next guests, someone who has been on the show 4 times to date, and someone else who has been on the show 5 times to date. 4 times before, 4-time guest. Hello, Jonah Falcon.
Hey there.
Hello, Sal.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. All right, we're going to start with Jonah. Jonah, what is your good, bad, and ugly of Civilization VI?
Oh, the good is pretty easy in that Ed Beach, who's the lead designer of Civ VI, apparently a long-time Civ player, so he knows the little annoyances that Civ players have. For instance, having to escort non-combat units like settlers. So now you can just link them up and have them move automatically without having to manually have your military unit follow them along so that they don't get captured by the enemy. Stuff like that. Also, you know, some useless techs like whoever liked camping tech. You know, now it's just folded into animal husbandry. Yeah, that's sort of small things. The bad, you know, there's a lot going on. When I tried playing an epic game with or a huge world, I found myself having to worry about so many things. Like, do I want to build this district here? Oh, I forgot about these policies that I might be able to use. If you micromanage in Civ 6, you really micromanage. Other than that, you know, there's just a lot of things that are streamlined. Ugly? Well... I'm not going to say it's terribly ugly, but I do get bored of listening to Sean Bean's voice over and over and over and over. It's fine, but when you hear Boromir for a couple of hours, it's like, okay, thank you.
Well, especially as the game goes on, it's like, how come you're not dead yet?
He's dying and everything. What is this?
At least his character's wife only pops up as the advisor every so often. Oh, that reminds me of the other good is the opening cutscene is really stirring. They really tapped into James Horner there.
Yeah, it definitely helps set the mood. I concur. What about you, Sal? Good, bad, and ugly, Civilization VI.
For me, my good, I didn't know what else to really pick. I mean, there's a lot of good there. I picked the tech and the civic boost. I do enjoy that feature and how it just kind of helps me streamline what you're doing depending on how you're playing and what's going on in the map. So far, I mean, it has gone different ways for me each time I've started a playthrough. For my bad, and this is kind of the big one for me, is the build times just are way too long for me for buildings, wonders, and for districts especially. And I know there's, like, some planning to do, and I'm not trying to put a district in every city, but I've seen where it's, like, any new cities that I have later in the later eras, is like it's really hard getting those up and running because it takes forever.
What game speed are you playing on?
Well, I've done standard game speed. Current one is the Marathon, which I do know it's going to be longer, but even still, I mean, it's like 100-plus turns just to build a district.
You know, from Civ 5 on, I've always played on quick just because it's a lot less aggravating.
I don't like being rushed through. In the medieval era, I get my legion built up or whatever in the classical era, and then the next thing I know, they're obsolete. Guns are coming out, and it just kind of throws me off. I like to be able to, like, enjoy my eras, you know?
Right, right. I mean, I'm very much someone who played quick speed all the time, and Civilization V, it's an excellent name for a speed, by the way, lol. But I find myself playing online speed right now because I'm kind of the opposite of you there, Sal, so I guess my only other comment would be, other than, of course, what game speed you're on, especially since you're kind of having the game slow down more because you like the eras to be longer and not feel rushed, what kind of production do you have going on in those days? Like, do you have the abilities like mine right away and construct some quarries as well so you can get some kind of production going before you get industrial zones?
I get what I can. I mean, I guess, I mean, even with, like, building the units, that takes a lot of time, and then you're trying to, you know, especially in the early game, you only have one or two cities, and you're trying to balance out the time with that. Yeah, it gets frustrating with the build times. I've seen other people that have agreed with me about that.
I think the big learning curve of this game is knowing what policies are best and knowing what districts are best. Because had I known that you can only get archaeologists from the entertainment, it's the theater district, then I would have built a theater district a lot earlier in the game, because I want those relics. So a lot of it is just restacking your mind to know what the policies are, what the districts are, what the techs are, because when you have the bonus of build ancient and classical units 50% faster, you know, that really helps. Although I will say this, I wish they had a lot better labeling in the game. Say you're farming wheat. There's no way to know that if you go on top of the wheat. And when you go on the tile where the wheat is, it just says farm. I would like it if when you hovered the mouse over the icon for the wheat, it would say wheat, farm, with in parentheses, so that you know you don't have to send your builder there. It's a little thing, but it is sort of annoying.
I think it definitely takes some getting used to. I know there are some terrain features, like, for example, oh, does this have floodplains or not? And where that shows up, you know, when you mouse over the particular hex to try to get that information. But just on the good side, when we're talking about improvements to tiles, although I don't want any of my tiles to be repaired, I love the repair build animation. It reminds me of cartoons.
It's like cartoons. Like,
it's like, can I pillage my own district just so I can immediately repair so I can watch that again? It's not like I want to pillage it if it's my campus district for additional science or it's my theater district for additional culture. Just pillage and then repair it with the builder and do it over and over and over and over again, which might be an issue in multiplayer where there's a turn timer. It's like, your turn is running out. Are we waiting for you to just keep repairing your districts so you can be entertained? No.
Yes, the set down wants to be entertained.
By the way, the other one good thing I wanted to add was the introduction of housing, which made stuff like barracks more useful, because you could get away without having barracks in Civ 5, but you really can't get away with it in this game, because otherwise you're going to be crimping your population.
Yeah, the housing, and then of course you get later on, and it's like, oh, I need more housing, and oh, well, I've got lots of food production, do I really need these farms anymore? This would be a great place to put housing, and we're tying into the tile appeal, which is going to determine...
Oh, yeah.
You got the base housing plus, you know, what have you, which of course... There's always, I kind of have it in my mind, in addition to those tiles, for example, that I can put districts on because they're not going to be useful for anything else. There's nothing like dusting tile and putting a theater district on it. There's just something ironic about that. This is disgusting. We're not going here. We're going to put a theater there. Okay, I'm going. Everyone's happy. Yay!
There's some truth in television on that one. By the way, did anybody sort of go, what, when it said, oh, by the way, now you can have your builder put a seaside resort? What?
Yes, yes, there is that. It's very nice. Oh, and so, Sal, what does your wife think of you playing Civilization VI? What does she think of the game?
She hasn't really played yet. She's been at her mother's for a little while. Yeah, she should be coming back soon. But I know she would probably be a little upset if she saw the way Cleo flirts at me.
Now, part of the reason why I mentioned your wife specifically is there's someone in our chat right now that says Lexi Lehman saying that she is your wife. So by the sound of the laughter, that's sounding to be true. So it's not like I was trying to get you in trouble or anything on the live show.
That's okay. That's okay.
She was totally trying to get you in trouble.
The response is, Dan, I don't need your help getting in trouble. Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. And my ugly, I didn't get to that yet. The UI feedback glitch. UI feedback has had a lot of glitches in Eversight. A couple that I've noticed, when you finish building stuff, it'll say we're completed, but it's like a couple things before, prior to what you completed. So if you forget what you were just building in the city, when it pops up, it's like you're just thrown off and a little confused by what you just built in that city. And then the other thing that I've seen is like when you finish a trade route, they don't say which trade route was the previous one, so it could be a little confusing trying to remember that.
True indeed. What would your one tip for people playing Civilization VI would be at this point in time?
I'd say to pay attention to your city planning. One thing I noticed when even before the game came out, watching the Let's Plays, you know, I'm like screaming at the people playing them because they're oh, I'm going to put a city here. Oh, but then they can't put their bath or aqueducts in there, and I was watching, and I was like, no, you can't do that, you gotta make room. And then, of course, when it came time to that point, you know, they're like, oh yeah, now I can't do this, I should have put it here or there. I said, yeah, that's what I said.
What about you, Jonah?
Mine would be to know what the districts will give you in the future, because some of the districts give you really important buildings, but it may be that your city doesn't have the room or the features to include that district, so you have to be careful. So you know what your districts require and know what they give you later on.
Yeah, and of course now it's making me think of my, like the theater districts. It's like, hey, I got this great writer and great musician. Oh, there isn't anything more for it to do right now. I'm sure that'll be an upcoming topic on this show when we have quote-unquote stack topics again. And just coming briefly from the chat, finds a lot. It's like, I missed the restart button on those bad starts. Yes, I missed that, and I also miss every single time I go for a single-player game. Can you please remember the settings for my last single-player game? Oh, my gosh, why do you hate me so much?
Oh, you know what? That reminds me. There's one little annoying thing that happens, and that is when you select a unit, but the computer hasn't finished doing some stuff, so it decides just as you're about to use that unit, it snaps to a different unit that you wanted to use, and you have to either scroll back or accidentally use the unit you didn't want to use. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
I wish you have a unit selected, the computer would say, okay, that's the unit you want to do. Okay, I'm not going to move from that unit that you want to use. There's no reason for it to snap to a different unit just because it's on a number. It's like, oh, this is a unit number one, so it has to be first.
Indeed. Well, Jonah and Sal, thank you very much for being on the show.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I hope to get my daughter, Savannah, on here into the game pretty soon.
Well, yes, otherwise you're a bad parent.
Yes. She's only a year old so far, so I'm working on it.
Oh, you've got time. You've got time. Get her used to the user interface right now. That should be priority one.
Yes.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Now, continuing on, I don't want to cut people off, but we are kind of going through rapidly in some cases, but we will certainly do our best to have these people and others back on the show in the future, and maybe Mackie and Madgen, too, if I feel like it. What?
Wait, what? Oh, okay.
I'm just making sure people are still paying attention to me. Pay attention to me! All right, so our next guest is, I'm not going to count his number of episodes that he's been on because, you know, it's less than two. Hello, New Earth Relic.
How's it going, everyone?
Good, how are you?
Doing great.
Excellent. And our next guest, three-time guest, Candace Albinus. Hello.
Hello.
So, NER, the good, the bad, and the ugly of Civilization VI.
All right. So the good is I really love how districts work. They finally let me do something with those terrible tundra tiles I got stuck with every time I played Russia in 5.
Did you know you could still get stuck with tundra tiles with Russia 2 in Civ 6?
Yes, but now I get to turn them into Stonehenge. Although I will say, it is really, really annoying when I misclick, and all of a sudden I have a district that's going to be stuck there for the rest of the game, even though, yeah, I don't want it there. The worst is I misclick one tile off of a river for a commercial district, so I went from 5 gold and Great Zimbabwe to Nothing.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, you almost didn't want to talk about the fail that is not getting a wonder, and you used to get terrible fail gold in Civ 5, and now it's just...
You just failed.
All I get is disappointment.
It's just fail. It's like, well, those returns you're not going to get back, eh? LOL. Ugh.
Well,
anyway,
whatever happened to leaving the wonder fails on the map?
That'd actually be pretty cool. Like, here's a whole bunch of half-built Stonehenge or something. You get bonus tourism for it.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Then you can at least get something for it, like, a little later on. And then if you zoom in really, really close, as far as you can zoom in, you see, like, this little sign that says F U. Oh.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Absolutely.
So when's the modding coming out? Because we need to make that.
I was just about to say modders. They don't have their priorities straight. Why isn't that released already? Anyway, continuing.
So the bad, the auto unit selection, awful. I'm pretty sure I'm like the 40th person on this show to actually say that.
Oh, please. It's probably only like 38th. It's okay.
Okay, fine, Dan. You and your counting and your basic arithmetic.
Yeah, well, I don't mind the unit cycling. Ha ha ha.
Why are you having difficult cannon?
David.
Oh, there's what we need, the religion of no unit cycling. There we go.
Yep.
It's the replacement for Condorism.
You can leave the show now, too.
Oh, wow.
Heresy.
Antics is Condorism, seriously. People thought I took the cookie, seriously.
Yeah, you've been slacking on that lately, Mackie. You should do something about that. Anyway. Mackie's like, oh, really?
Oh, you can hear that look over the internet. Okay.
Yes, I can. I have that ability, especially with you, for some reason. I've never gotten that look before in my life. Nope.
Uh-huh.
And did we get your ugly there?
Yes. The city names and the symbols are a little bit too big at every zoom, it feels like. Every time I keep trying to go and move a unit to the square north of a city, and it's just like, hey, you're selecting the city, right? No, I want to move a unit right there. You're selecting the city, right? No, I'm moving the unit. So you're selecting the city? Okay, time to play with the zoom again. Also, the Hex Auto tooltip, kind of flaky. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it tells me that sheep icon is, in fact, sheep. Thanks, game.
Well, yeah. Wait, really?
In case you didn't know what a sheep looked like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's entirely possible, except that it's the same icon that they've pretty much always used.
So you're saying it's bad? Yeah, I'm a horrible person.
Like that joke?
And as Canis bandages his wounds... The internal injuries from the pun. The good, the bad, the ugly of Civilization VI.
Well, since everybody else has already thoroughly described how the game is good and bad and all things other, I'm going to stick with the things that I can actually comment on, which are the audio, because I can't see it very well because my eyes are bad, but I can hear it really well. And the music in this game is the most fabulous music for a Civ game ever, and possibly the best for any video game ever.
So, I don't think that, music games.
I don't think there's a single song that I've heard in the game that I don't like. The only bad thing about that is it has awkward sound design in its noises when you plop things down. Also, that annoying combat sound when you start a combat. That would be my ugly. When you capture a city, you hear, like, 700 things automatically get plopped down instantly, so there's this big cracking thump. Don't like that so much. And when you discover satellites, or when you set up the Earth satellite, and you get told about every single barb camp on the map in one instant, and they all make their sound, and their cumulative noises.
I could record some alternate sound files for you there, Candace, and send them to you. So, you know, when you sit down a district, you hear me go, plonk!
Personally, I preferred the Civ 5 sound effects because they were more shiny and ringy, but this one feels a lot more guttural and funky, which I guess is okay. It'll just take some getting used to.
Ooh, you use the word shiny. That's
careful, you can get a little happy.
So I suppose what you could do is you could go into, I don't know, maybe Civ 5 sound files and plug
them
into Civ 6.
Yes, I know I could, but what would I do with them? Like, how would I put it together? I have to figure that out.
But yeah, so the music audio stuff is so much nicer than Civ 5. Definitely agree on that.
My least favorite of the music is the Ancient Era, just because some of it uses weird instruments, like especially the Norway theme in the Ancient Era. It's just a horn, and it kind of grates on me. But once it gets going, it's really good.
Yeah, for me, it's Russia.
Oh, Russia's funny.
Yeah, hearing that over and over and over and over and over again. Like, kill me.
When they do their big flourish and then they get all super hyper and then it just dies instantly, it's really funny.
You've been listening to another episode of Human Nature Cast, where we love almost everything about something, and then we talk about the one thing that really bothers us, which is, I mean, that's again.
Although I think a lot of the UI interface problems are just result of, this is a brand new engine, and it just hasn't been refined yet.
Yeah, it'll get patched pretty soon, and it will actually be a really nice game.
Yeah, I wonder if at some point it will get streamlined. I'm a horrible, horrible person for mentioning that word.
Yeah, sure.
I couldn't resist.
So sit in the corner.
So what we need to do is streamline Dan, apparently.
But it will bring about a synergistic paradigm shift. There we go. Now I've
really... You didn't hurt yourself saying that.
Now I've got my body armor on.
Dan's busy playing Buzzword Bingo.
So, Candace, what would be your tip for people playing Civilization VI right now?
Turn down the sound effects volume.
turn down the sound effects and turn up the music?
Well, no, turn it down all the way so you can still hear it, but down low enough that when you get 5 barb camps at once, you don't lose your eardrums.
Fair enough. What about you, Neuroth Relic?
Deity is pretty easy. It was my first win, so everyone should be able to do it.
Uh-huh.
Totally.
Yeah. Also, it turns out you can now play multiplayer with Dan. Boosting is fixed.
Can you hear that? Will not kill you anymore.
The trolling in here is getting pretty thick.
Yeah, someone's got to take over for Phil. So, figured might as well be me. Take one for the team.
I really like how it takes all of us together to make up the Phil potion. Because that's how trolly he is. That's one person.
Thank you both for being on the 268th episode of Polycast.
Have a good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Warning you two in our chat. Good. Game stability for multiplayer, fewer desyncs and quick recovery. Hot joins quick. True. Bad. Not being able to rename cities. I'm sure that's part of the first DLC. Ugly. Bad starts. Need more balanced NP mass with civs not planned so close to each other. Find that proximity can be ugly. Yes, especially in a competitive situation, a cooperative situation. Even in a competitive situation, too. It's just kind of like, hey, do you want to end the game now and start another one?
Yeah, well, if they wanted a competitive multiplayer, then yes. More ability to make balanced maps and other such things where it's not going to be so clearly one-sided, like, hey, look, barb camp spawned 2 hexes from my city. Oh, I don't have barbs over here.
Yeah, that's very true. And mumbling there, we have arrived with Drusane, who has been a past guest a couple of times on the show. Hello.
I choose to believe that I was slotted last so I could backstab all the other guests.
Well, if you want to talk smack about them, go for it.
But I've already backstabbed them. Not Jen. You missed the point.
Well, after you backstab, you still have to make fun of them.
Oh, okay. I completely made a mistake then.
Yeah.
You made a mistake. That's what you...
So, Drew, what is your good, bad, and ugly of Civilization VI?
Well, I do have a good, bad, and ugly. If I may, I wanted to talk a little bit about my impression of the overall release, but first I will talk about the good. I tried to make things that have not been already said, and the good is that science is now arguably not king for once.
Yeah, now it's production.
Yes, now it's production.
Yeah.
Which actually, even though it's now far more important than other stuff, it doesn't directly lead you to a production victory or something like that. Although I guess you can argue that the space race is a production victory, but...
Yeah. I mean, on Civ 5 release, there was very few hills, so they had to make new hills. So I'm sure it's just a map kind of thing. And also districts or industrial districts are a little...
But yeah, the difference between starting with grassland hills and starting with forests on a river that are flat, very big difference in what you can actually do with those starts.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the bad is that tribal villages kind of blend into the background more than I wish they did.
Are you bringing up art?
Yes, I am bringing up art. I'm saying that sometimes you'll see a tribal village and you're like, okay, I'll look at it in a second. And it's like, wait, where'd it go? Where's it?
Can't find it. Somebody else took it.
No.
Yep.
If only.
That happened at least once in the game.
Might have been. But also
no, they do kind of blend when they're in the fog. Yeah, but then yeah, I think you just get used to it. I'm used to it enough that I can spot them.
And the ugly is, I think, that settling locations are more than often not very optimal and could be improved by moving one hex over. So I think the scripting on that can be a little
improved. Oh, God. One hex over?
Well,
I've seen some positions where it's like, I'll move a continent over, thanks.
Yeah, I was trying to... I didn't want to exaggerate too much. Or maybe I wasn't exaggerating enough.
No, no. I have seen starts where it's like, I'm on a coast. There's no mountains anywhere near me for an aqueduct, or water near me for an aqueduct, or river, or anything. Have fun. Bye-bye. Oh, by the way, did I mention it was all tundra and snow?
The overall launch is very impressive, and certainly, in my opinion, is a better Civ mainline launch than either Civ 4 or 5. And there was a poll on CFC about whether Civ 6 was in a more complete state than Civ 5 on release, and that poll was currently 86% that Civ 6 supported more multiple playstyles or victories conditions, which I really wish they'd stop editorializing poll choices, but that's beside the point. People do bring up real issues with the game, but for all of those real issues, I find myself very optimistic because take example of the launch of Civ 5 and the current state of Civ 5. The cultural victory had to be completely revamped because it engendered passivity. The diplomatic game had to be completely revamped because of its cryptic nature and that fact that it gave no viable strategic way to change your diplomacy in your favor. Add in the fact that there was nothing to do to influence the game other than war, and you really had a very poor Civ 5 release. All that, aside from adding in new stuff, they had to go back and fix things to make the game complete as it is now. And while I look at the boards for Civ 6 launch, I see that people have nitpicks. And when I say nitpicks, I'm not saying that they're not important, but I'm saying that they're things that could feasibly be fixed. It's not something you have to make from the ground up. And I believe that the game's launch systems are quite fine. I'm optimistic to see how they're going to take it in the future.
Hey, multiplayer works.
Yeah, multiplayer works.
We keep coming back to that, but really, that's huge.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, they didn't really talk about it until last day, so everyone was kind of expecting the worst.
Yeah, at the beginning, multiplayer, new modes, new everything. Quiet. And unlike Civ 5 launch, we're like, multiplayer's awesome. It didn't say that. And it turned out to be awesome. So, yay.
But everything is awesome.
I wondered who was going to say that first.
Yeah, but now it's an achievement. So now it's going to be, you know, passe.
What would your one tip be for people playing Civilization VI right now?
Great merchants are worth generating again, so get those commercial hubs going.
Yeah, it is interesting how, particularly when you look at the AI or even some of the human players that you're with, what great people tend to not go as much of or as quickly, and how you could actually leverage that to your advantage by paying attention to, what could I actually get with it? And it's very nice that the great person screen will tell you, hey, the next great person is going to give you this. The one caveat I will just say, especially with a great scientist, be careful about that one that where you get a science boost for mountain hexes. If you don't have any mountains around you,
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could deny it by taking it, deny it to other people, but I think I'd rather pass on it, although I have made that mistake. And it was a single-player game, so I could reload and pretend like it didn't happen. But I'd rather not make that mistake in the first place. So pay attention to those things. Whoopsies. My bad. And it sounds like Mackie can relate.
Oh, well, except in the opposite, I actually found a spot that had five mountains. I was like, yes. Yeah, I know, you hate me now.
Well, now what?
Hey. Come on.
Hey.
Well, thanks very much, Drew, for joining us on episode 268 of Bulletcast.
Thank you very much.
Support the ongoing Bulletcast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast,
or about Polycast in general,
log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
Again, this has been a different Polycast episode, of course. We wanted to get multiple people on to talk about their first impressions. There was only one topic. It really wasn't even a segment, other than Civ is the segment. Isn't that what you do every episode? Yes, well, we were a bit more breadth rather than depth here. Although, again, just kind of in summary, just having a look at Metacritic here for Civilization VI.
I'm
just
going to
start with the user reviews. I'm not talking any specific comment. Although I'll just say, whenever you look at a review, whether it's user or critic, take into account what they say and what they don't say, including their writing style. But right now, the user score, based on 466 ratings out of this recording, is a 7.7, or generally favorable reviews. There's 325 positive, 57 mixed, and 84 negative. But then we go over to the critic reviews, based on 47 critics. 90% universal acclaim with no negative, one mixed, and 46 positive.
Metacritic useless.
Gave you cartoonies. You're out of 10.
I'm obviously cartoony.
I disagree that Metacritic is useless, but certainly when we're just talking about kind of numbers here and how they aggregate it, of course there are issues with it. But I think that it's kind of a bit of a snapshot of kind of what we've been getting at. Although I think the user review summary is actually more useful than the critic score, because if podcast here was like the Metacritic, we'd have difficulties talking about a bad, let alone an ugly. But I think overall, feeling like that, yes, as we've been kind of getting at, the launch of Civilization VI has been more successful than Civilization V. The separate question if the launch of Civilization VI has been a success, and maybe just a week out, maybe it's a little too soon to say that. What exactly does launch mean? And I mean, there's obviously launch day, but then I think the first month is also very indicative. We know that there's DLC coming, what that is, we have no idea or when. Some people, of course, are already talking about patches and fixes, and if history is any indication, there will be some. It's not just develop and release. You see, kids, there was this time before the internet when there were games, and I'm probably scared like half of our audience away now by having them try to imagine such a thing, but...
My cat is trying to give his interview now.
Well, I was about to say either that's Madgen's cat or he is lightly snoring.
Yeah, bit of both.
A little.
Just because you want to give an interview doesn't mean you need to eat stuff.
Oh, I think it does.
Somebody's locating microphone, it's not food.
There's many people in Turncast we have to tell that to. All right, get out.
You see, this is part of the reason why I didn't assign you the closing, which I think is also part of your strategy, to be honest.
Works every time.
So, if I'm not doing the closing because I did the introduction, and Madgen is not doing the closing because he hasn't been assigned,
I thought that's how you guys do the closing now. I thought you don't want the closing. Wait, what?
That's the closing. Ha! I win!
Oh, Dan really wants an actual one. Okay.
No, really, you have to do this once in a while.
I know. This has been episode 268 of Polycast, where we have talked way, way, way too much probably about Civ 6. And of course, as usual, we have Dan Q.
One more turn!
Madgen.
0 of 10, you can't take 3 turns at once.
If you have 3 computers, you could. We had a very long list of guest co-hosts today, but we are glad that everybody came by to tell us how they were having fun with Civ 6. And not having fun in some cases.
It's the latest iteration of the game that we hate to love and love to hate simultaneously.
okay. And Naki, are you going to leave? You're going to say hi?
Yeah. Oh. Oh, right. I have to say bye for myself. Bye for myself. There.
It is the nature of humankind to push itself toward the horizon. We test our limits. We face our fears. We rise to the challenge and become something greater than ourselves. A civilization.
Recorded October 29th, 2016. Civilization 6 Clips Copyright 2K Games. Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth Sound Clips Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.